Welcome to the MegaCast.
Cool. Welcome to the first ever live recording of the MegaCast. I'm here joined with beautiful Wilco from live from PAX. Butters and special guest on the podcast tonight is Uber Timmy.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
He's famous, everybody.
He's famous.
I'm not famous. Leave it alone.
So, guys, we'll get straight into it. This is the first time we've ever done a live podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you usually start with this is episode number 101, and you know, thank you to Audio Technica for making this happen.
That's true.
For bringing it all together. You know, you should do all that, but I don't know how to podcast. You might do it better.
Well, no. You do it at the end. You do it at the start and the end, that's true.
But, okay.
But we're not going to name an episode number because we're not probably going to really release it under the same banner. It's a live thing we're doing. But look, it's all very cool being here at PAX, being able to do this live. And
yeah,
special thanks to Audio Technica for making this happen, obviously. And these headphones, man, I'm going to have to get it set because they're good. Like, I was just actually asking before. I managed to pick up the gaming headset, which is the ATH over there, the open air ones. And they're very, very good. But I didn't realise that that this set was a different set, and I can already tell from standing, like, the open air ones, they're quite good, but they do let a lot of outside noise in. They're not as noise cancelling. Like, we're standing in PAX, arguably the middle of PAX right now, and there are fucking thousands of people around us.
You barely hear anyone. Yeah, it's crazy.
I can't hear anyone. Like, I can hear you guys, and I can hear me, which is always good because I love hearing my own voice.
Same. It's a great feeling, isn't it?
It's a great feeling.
Yeah, I can hear one of the louder booths nearby, but like literally. That's it. It's
like a low rumble. You can kind of like hear this low rumble. But I guess we usually start with what you've been up to for the past week, but we've already done that this week. So what have you been up to for PAX, Wilco?
Not much, right? Not much. Pretty much. Well, I've had a really, really busy 2 days. So we hit a lot of appointments with indie devs, and we did NVIDIA. We sat down with them and looked at their new graphics cards. We did some... I know, lots and lots of indie games is the main stuff. So we've seen Party Crashers.
Yep.
We've seen their brand new game, Party Poppers.
Yep.
Timmy just led me over to see a game called Last Aftermath.
Last Stand Aftermath. Really good. Really good little indie game.
That does look good.
Yeah. So Jagged Alliance mixed with
zombies,
Looks very good there. They're fairly early on, but they're looking really good so far. The graphics is amazing. Some of the other ones, The Dark Room. It's just amazing. It just absolutely is hilarious and makes you feel like a little person every time. Every decision you make is the wrong decision. Yeah. It's great.
Just like life. Just like real life.
Just like life,
I actually died because I leant against the wall, found the light switch, which turned it on, but my tears actually electrocuted me because the tears hit the light switch and that killed me.
That happened to me on
like
Thursday.
Real life.
Sounds legit. Sounds like something that happened to me.
The main thing is catching up with all you guys. I've met Uber Timmy now in person for the first time ever, which is a really good experience last night. Unfortunately, I've seen Josh again.
right back at you, Wilco.
Getting to see McDad's first experience of PAX has been amazing. He's a bit grumpy about it, but he's loving it.
Yeah.
He's finally found a Timmy that's taller than him.
Why doesn't he have a headset on? Why isn't he here talking with us?
Because he's not a MegaCast fan. So
He's a locked on boy.
No.
One of the locked on lads. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned the big thing, because when we got here, you more or less, I saw the boner through your pants, and you ran straight to the Ubisoft booth and tried to pretty much dry hump Division 2 booths.
No, it was Just Dance 2019. We talked about it to death yesterday on episode 51 of the Locked On. Look, there was those two things. The Rainbow Six Rainbow Six Masters that was on yesterday was fabulous.
That was really good.
About 3 hours over scheduled because every game went to the third map. It was phenomenal to see Fnatic, though, get up. Reversing what happened in the APEC final.
Can we just give them a big round of applause? Like, to Fnatic.
Because they came down from a couple of reasons. Well, they thought there were going to be a couple of big upsets. Like the Dark
Side. They almost got beaten by Dark Sided, and that was never, ever supposed to happen. Nora almost got beaten by Atletico. Well, they got a scare. Like, the first time they've dropped a map in forever. They went through the whole APAC finals without even dropping a map. So Atletico did really good for that. The highlight was Waka. I think it was Waka ended up self-fragging
himself. Yeah, twice.
That was gold. So it can happen to anyone. But yeah, look, the Division 2 is a fabulous game. Timmy, he's played it. He went to E3 and he's got a boner about
it
as well.
This is like the 10th time I've played the demo, and it's the same each time. But
so look, it's really good. And just catching up with everyone. Like, we just came to record the booth. recorded the booth, and there was what, Nato,
yeah,
there was Jono,
great.
The Pixel Sift guys dropped by, and which we had drinks with them last night. Didn't even talk about that.
It's been a really hectic few days. We'll get into the start of my packs, I guess, on the podcast.
Yeah, why not?
Let's do that.
Let's go. I want to hear what Josh has been up to.
Josh has been up to as well.
I've just been that dickhead content creator running around with a GoPro trying to film as much shit as I possibly could.
Yeah.
I have seen that. You've had the stick out.
Yeah.
And it's been twirling around.
That guy running through the crowds trying to film stuff. Other than that, I've played Division twice now. I was remarkably worse today at it.
That's surprising, because you died a lot the other day when I was watching.
Everyone that plays that demo dies a lot, though, because they think it plays like the first game, and then they get a rude shock when they get dropped.
As soon as I was getting out of cover, I was almost getting dropped every time.
You had to remember, go to cover
all the time. So it's a completely different game, to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't die as much this time, but I just could not hit anything.
Potato aim.
Full on potato. I'm going to blame the effort I put in last night on me not being able to actually play any games.
Yeah, we had a big one last night. We won't talk about that, though.
Yeah.
Too much.
And other than that, I've played a couple of the indies. I haven't hit up the new Party Poppers yet. I want to check that one out. But,
it is literally dinosaurs popping balloons in a Pac-Man-style map, but with gravity. So you've actually got to pull yourself up and jump up and... Mm. Giant margarita style. There's a million different configurations to make it harder or easier on every single person.
And by the way, we walked past before, and this is we're at Sunday at PAX here. So if you listen to this later, Sunday is markedly less busy than both Friday and Saturday. But we walked past the Giant Margarita booth before, and it was fucking packed. There was an insane amount of people at the front of that thing.
And it always has been the whole weekend.
Because I
love talking to those guys. I usually get in and talk to them whenever I can. I just can't even get close to them at the moment.
Yeah.
So congrats to those guys. They're doing a really good job. That's it. You've done nothing. Uber Timmy, you flew in last night, mate.
Yeah, flew in last night. Went to the Bethesda Legends with Legends dinner.
Because you are a legend, yes.
I like to think so. The vice president of Bethesda was there. He just like, oh, hey, guys, how are you? Which was a bit of a shock. Then I went and met you guys at Bartronica, and
then you met the real people, famous people.
Not
the VP of Bethesda.
And then you escorted me back to near to where I was staying. Thank you for that, Wilco.
No problem.
And
then I'll look after you.
And then I heard you went and drank an entire bottle of vodka after I left. So
that's what I do, mate. That's what I do.
And then I came in to meet you guys this morning, and the first thing that confronts me is you without a shirt on. So
highlight of PAX,
standard PAX. That's so good, because that's true. I got to breakfast this morning with you guys, and Timmy looks at me and goes, Wilco fell asleep in the bathroom last night. Which is fucking great.
Yeah, it was a good night. Someone stole my vodka. I don't know what happened. We put on... Okay, so this is the story from last night. We bank girl here who's standing just over there. She's a star player for Ubisoft. She's a legend. She challenged me to a dance-off, and we finally got to do it last night.
Now, if you're listening to the Megacast, this is the oh-so-fancy, chuck-a-little-dancy with my main man-see, Tom Clancy extravagancy.
That's it.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is a mouthful, and that's why we don't talk about it very much. But, so we popped the TV around, so we had a bigger... We moved the table, so Bank Girl didn't get up on the table to dance. And we set up the stream. We had the two webcams going, and we drank
vodka. It was
fucking
atrocious. It was atrocious.
The highlight
is
of the
there.
Night.
Is there a VOD? Will there be a VOD for that?
It's on my stream.
Yes. Yeah,
it'll be on Twitter.
We'll check that out.
Go check Wilco Shield's own past streams. It's the last one I did, so it's there.
And it will be the last one you did, because you got insta banned from Twitch directly afterwards.
There was some comments on there that yes, I assume I will get some kind of ban at some stage, but.
It's literally the equivalent of pouring gasoline into a bin and setting it on fire.
Yes. Yeah.
That was pretty much it, yeah.
Everyone enjoyed themselves, that's the main thing. Who would have known that Josh here can actually hold himself as a dancer? So
How could you not know that? Look at the man.
That's exactly
it's true.
Right.
It's got the lower center of gravity. It means you can move way faster and not fall over, I think, isn't it?
And a special shout out to Locked On co-host... Cal, he actually was undefeated all night as well. So
he went undefeated.
He did.
He was also not drinking though. So
how many people did he dance off against?
Three.
Well, that means he was 3-0.
Yeah.
3-0. If we talk esports language.
That's it. Yeah.
3-0. Undethreated. There you go.
So, yeah, that was a highlight. But, Timmy, your first day ever on the floor of
PAX.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah, so.
You've already been shopping at EB, I assume?
No, I haven't been in there yet. I will go in there and probably see people I know. And yeah, but I just went to the Ubisoft booth straight up and hit up Thermaltake and Logitech and then come over here. And yeah, like, got to go and see the guys at Xbox and at Asus. And then after that, I'm pretty much just going to chill around for an hour and then head off back home. So back to
fly
the
plane. Fly in, fly out. Crazy.
That's it. No, I decided, like, I was going to come down here and thank some of the people that have sponsored my channel because, like, it's just the right thing to do. Like,
yeah,
I mean, 100%. These people are giving you free products and they're, you know, asking for you to test them out. And, you know, I talk to them mostly over email. So the best thing to do is to come down and actually say, hey, this is who I am, meet them face to face and say thanks for the work. Yeah. So,
definitely, yeah.
And it's a beautiful place for that. Like, you know, we all come to PAX to create content and have a bit of fun. But, yeah, networking is the big thing. And just building the community, like the amount of people we've seen from our community that
it's been insane. It's been so bloody good. And we're a community driven podcast, we're a community driven community, I should say. And you know, it's to come down and see everyone here and everyone come up to us and, like, you know, and we go up to everyone else and sort of meet everyone for the first time and hang out and just be able to enjoy this together is awesome. So, you know, the guys at PAX are doing a bloody good job of that.
Yeah, and we've actually got an audience here for our podcast, which is amazing. Thank you all, the audience.
It's kind of like doing it, streaming it again, but not.
No, so everyone's really come here to hear the story about chicken fish ramen.
The chicken fish ramen.
Yes.
Fuck.
I haven't actually heard this story properly yet. So.
Oh, fuck. So it has to start because I only booked my PAX. I didn't think I was going to come to PAX. I put my media badge in it. I was like, look, if I get approved, then I'll go to PAX. And I got approved. I was like, fuck yeah, all right, well, I better organize this. Had no money. I booked my plane. I booked my plane tickets like 4 weeks ago or something like that. The difference between booking plane flights from Mackay, I fly from Mackay to Melbourne, and there's no direct flights. It's all connecting through Brisbane. So if I wanted to fly on the Thursday and fly back on the Monday, then plane flights were like $1,200. Ooh. Just the plane flights.
Sounds fair.
Yeah. If I wanted to fly from Tuesday to Tuesday, flights were about $550. So I was like, well, fuck it, I'll do the week. It's actually going to cost me less still in accommodation and food if I go for a week. So I took a week off work, flew down here on the Tuesday, got in late Tuesday afternoon, didn't do much. Wednesday morning, I'm at this Airbnb like, oh, you got to do brunch. Everyone in fucking Melbourne does brunch. It's hoity-toity. They're like, okay, cool. So I walk down to this Melbourne CBD. First of all, I walk into the CBD and I'm like, yep, forgot my wallet. Fuck. Walk all the way back to the Airbnb, walk back to the CBD, and then I'm looking for, and they're like, don't go to any places on the main strips. Look for alleyways. Look for like things.
Oh, you got
to
look for the real, like, hipster. Exactly. Look for that establishment. Yeah,
so I look down this alleyway and there's like this shining light of ramen down there. It's like, and I fucking love ramen. So I walk up and I'm like, this is a like authentic Japanese ramen place. I'm looking on the menu and they had one called like something with Y. I hadn't heard of it. Like, I usually go for tonkatsu, or I usually go for like the spicy ramen or something like that, or tonkatsu pork ramen or something. Yep. This one had some seafood elements. It sounded really good. It was like $16. I was like, yeah, I'll get that. Yes. So like, cool. Wait there for 10 minutes. They bring it out. Comes out. Has the pickled egg in it. Has like all the, like, it has like a prawn in it, and the broth is really seafoody, and it has these two big lumps of chicken. So I start eating this fucking ramen, this chicken fish ramen, and I finished the whole thing. It was quite good. It was quite tasty, to be honest. And then about 2 hours later, I started to get a bit upset in the stomach. But I knew Bartronica was going to open, so I went down to Bartronica and was there as the doors opened. And the owner of Bartronica opens the door. I'm like, hey, mate, walk straight to the toilet and just destroyed the place. Just fucking annihilated the force of Bartronica.
Wow.
So then I'm like, okay, I feel better now. Got it out of my system. And if I can come out, I had a few whiskeys at Bartronica, met a few people. And then maybe about 3 hours after that, I was like, fuck, I'm starting to feel really fucking sick. And then I'm like, I've got to go. I'm going to throw up. So I got an Uber back to my place. at the Airbnb.
Did you throw up in the Uber? Please tell me.
No, I didn't. Oh. I didn't. He would have been fucking pissed because he was a dick of an Uber driver too. I gave him 1 star. Asshole.
The ultimate, the ultimate middle finger.
Yeah. So then we get back to the Airbnb and I go and lay in bed and then the pain and the stuff, and then it was just all over from there. I just threw up for like fucking 24 hours straight. Couldn't hold water down for a solid fucking 36 hours.
Yeah.
Was just... It was absolutely horrendous. I thought, I've never had food poisoning before. I thought I was going to fucking die.
Yeah.
Like, I was so hideously sick. And
it's the worst, though, because you get to a point where there's nothing left to come out, and your body just is like, dry, get it out!
Yeah, just like dry fishing. Just like, yeah.
And you're like, screaming in the toilet. You're like, I've got nothing left. What do you want from me?
It's just fucked. So, yeah, it was not a fun start to my trip in Melbourne. And I've been dusty ever since. Like, that was Wednesday afternoon, all day Thursday was out. I was in bed. I started holding water down late Thursday afternoon, and then I got all these electrolytes. Like, had the hydrolyte shit back in my system. Got rehydrated. Then on Friday morning, PAX started. So I came to PAX. I hadn't eaten at that point since Tuesday.
And you'd be too scared to eat.
Since Wednesday morning.
You'd be too scared to eat anything as well, just in case you relapse.
Yeah. So I think I tried to eat. I went to your place and I'm like, oh, well, the first thing I'll try and eat is a double chopped chip muffin. I had like 2 bites.
Which
like,
he tried to have for breakfast Friday morning.
Yeah, I was like, nah.
He then had it for dinner Friday night because it was still sitting on the table when he came back to my place.
Hey, so I went through, my first full meal was this morning, actually, breakfast this morning.
That was a good breakfast as well. Solid,
it was good
breakfast.
Yeah. It was very good, but I haven't eaten for properly in days. And like every single time I've tried to eat, like even pizza last night, I got Meat Lover's pizza last night, and it was a fucking weird looking Meat Lover's pizza. There was like potato and shit on it, and it was like, it had like, you could see, it had like pizza sauce, like tomato sauce, but it also had like barbecue sauce like all over it, and it had like these weird pieces of meat that I didn't know what the fuck they were, and it had like pieces of like sweet potato on it, and it was really wet, like you could see puddles on it.
Ew.
And I was just like, oh, my first meal after being food, I'm like, fuck this. So I gave it to Doc and he ate it, he loved it. But every time I tried to eat, like I would just get not well. So it's been really rough. But yeah, it's been a good PAX. I've enjoyed it a lot.
I have to say it though, like you listen to people all the time talk about how the food in Melbourne is better and you're like, shut up, you know, like stop, you know, don't. Just don't tell me it's better. After eating food here for 2 days, it's way better.
Yes, it is, yeah.
It is so good.
So Perko, have you actually played any games?
I did. So long time listeners will remember that I'm a big fighting game fan. I play a lot of fighting games. I don't like 3D arena-based fighters. The ones like Naruto Shippuden, I don't like those kind of games. I think there's no mechanical depth. I think they defeat the purpose of fighting games in a lot of senses. They're there for fan service, really. Jump Force, I've been critical of it because it's a 3D arena-based fighter. I got to play it.
I loved it.
My worries were confirmed. look, I'll probably still get it because I'm an anime fan and I like those kind of things, but it's not going to impress me the way that I was hoping it would. Like, you know, we saw the release earlier this year of DB Fighters or Dragon Ball Fighters,
which is outstanding,
and that's the kind of level that I wish that you know, devs would bring to fighting games. And things like the One Piece world. I mean, there are so many interesting, you know, abilities and stuff in these shows, these anime shows like One Piece and Naruto, and they just seem to take the easy route out and make these 3D arena based fighters.
I don't mind Xenoverse though. I think Dragon Ball Xenoverse was a good like arena based fighting game.
Xenoverse was okay because it had those extra story based elements and stuff like that. But like I played One Piece Burning Blood, for instance.
Yeah.
And One Piece, I'm a big One Piece fan. I've fully up to date, all 800 and fucking something chapters, fully up to date. And like Burning Blood is the first One Piece fighting game they release, and there's so many cool arcs, so many cool storylines, and the storyline of that game is you play through the same arc 4 times.
No,
and I was like, what? I was like, fuck off. Like, that's not right. Don't do that. And it's, but so take a hint out of Arc Systems, make some good arena based fighters. But I've played a few other games here. I've played a bunch of indies. I've been really, really digging the indies this year.
Did you enjoy Hunt and Seek?
I enjoyed Hunt and Seek a very large amount, yes.
And I beat you at it, that's good.
You did beat me at Hunt and Seek, yes. I played Projection, which I really, really dig Projection.
Looks so good.
Projection was a PAX Showcase.
It was PAX Showcase last year. They shipped it around the world in all the other PAXes, and then this year they're back. They're close to release. They've been porting it to the consoles, which has taken a bit longer than they wanted. But there is a demo on the website, from what I understand, you can actually get. I'm going to stream a bit of that when I get back, but it's Shadow Puppets in a game.
And very interesting.
So the whole mechanic of it is you control a light source with your right thumbstick. You move it around move it around this landscape. And as you put it behind things, it casts shadows. Those shadows then become physical objects that you can use. So if you wanted to, if you want to like climb a ledge that looks too high, you put the light source at the edge of the ledge, cast a shadow that makes it look like a slanted staircase, and then you can walk up it. So it's,
that
it's,
sounds very Limbo-esque.
Yes, yes, it is. Yeah. It is. It is very Limbo-esque. Yeah. The art style is very
I love
there.
Limbo.
Yeah, same.
Great game.
So the cool part of it, what these guys have done is when they decide they wanted to make a shadow game, they actually approached, I forget his name now, but it was like a, he's a university lecturer, and he's one of the leaders in Australia in actual shadow puppetry, because like these shadow puppets have been a massive part of many, many cultures for many, many generations.
Yeah.
So you end up playing through different themed environments that are based on different parts of shadow puppets from around the world. So you play through China, you play through Indonesia, you play through Turkey, and there's somewhere
and
else.
England.
Like,
wow,
and
that
England,
intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's really,
they've
really
all
cool.
got their own unique feel.
Yeah.
In the demo they've got online, you actually play through all four quickly.
Yeah.
The demo we played last year was just the one level. But they've really gone to great lengths to bring those natural, the actual where they're from comes right through. So
yeah, they really have.
It looks pretty though. It's so pretty looking game. So
it is fantastic
really
looking game. So I don't know. I'm trying to think. I watched Rainbow Six for the first time as well.
What about Never Give Up?
What?
Yeah,
yeah,
I've
never, for the first time.
Yeah, man.
Like, shit. What amateur crap am I on?
when it comes
you
to
knew what you were on when you signed up.
Yeah. When it comes to esports, like I've always been, fighting games and Dota and stuff like that. Like I've never really watched Rainbow Six. I've played Rainbow Six once in my life. Rainbow Six Siege once in my life, and it was on PS4. And I was telling this story actually to the Ubisoft guy, and he laughed at me.
Which is fair.
Because I played it on PS4, and I jumped in, and I just picked fucking someone. I don't know who it was. And then, like, I think I naded my team by accident because I was, like, figuring out what the buttons were, because, you know, every button's different. I was like, oh, naded my team. And then I got abused, like, really badly. Like, you fucking scrub that. And I was like, oh, well, guess this game's not for me. And I've never played it again. But watching it yesterday, I actually want to get into that. I really do.
See, Rainbow Six is one of those games that I absolutely love. Like, yeah. I love it. I keep up to date on it all the time. Watch Pro League religiously. Can't play it for shit. Like, so I try to play games and I'm just terrible at it. And then I go, but I just love it. Like, it is my favorite, one of my favorite Ubisoft games apart from The Division.
That's Dota for me.
I wish I was good at it, but I'm not. But I'll watch it all day. Like, I'm actually going to go buy one of those Cloud9 jerseys. Everyone's going to boo me for it, but Cloud9,
boo.
I'm a big fan.
Really?
A
big fan of Cloud9?
In Rainbow Six, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I really liked it. The spectre, it actually shocked me because I've watched a lot of Dota, professional Dota. It shocked me how similar the matches in Rainbow Six sort of happen to Dota. In the same sense, there's a band stage at the start, then there's a pick band stage for your operators, which is basically fucking heroes.
That's a new mechanic that they've actually brought in the last season. So.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. So that's really, really cool. Like, I really dig that. And then the top-down view with the spectator mode, I understand that's not in the game for everyone.
It's a caster tool, so it's fantastic.
That is a really friggin' cool tool to see.
I just love the games because I find, like, a lot of esports you watch, games can get really drawn out, apart from like CSGO, but you can see like games of like League of Legends and Dota and stuff where it can kind of get really drawn out for periods of the game. In Rainbow Six, when the action goes up, it's like that. It just pops off, and they're like, people will die in just absolute waves. Like,
That's what I was noticing yesterday. Usually the maps go for like 2.5 minutes, or each side goes for 2.5 minutes. Usually in like the last 30 seconds, shit just goes down. It's like everyone's alive, then all of a sudden, 15 seconds later, everyone
but
is dead.
There's nothing better than seeing
you're like, oh shit, like five people die. What happened? I didn't see that.
But it's even better when you see them rush. So you're expecting that dull sort of 2 minutes of prep work, but then the attack is just a sideline. Let's go for it straight up. See a gap, and then 30 seconds in, everyone's dead.
The very first round of the APAC finals with New Life, they just rushed. They rushed the objective, and it was over in 30 seconds.
Really?
They got slaughtered.
It's mental. Yeah. And it's so hard. Again, this is what I was saying. Like, those kind of esports are easy to watch, whereas something like and I was discussing this with one of the guys from over at the stage, from the esports stage yesterday, the ESL stage. With fighting games, it's so much harder to, unless you know fighting games, like you know what a 3-frame trap is and you know how frame advantages work and all this sort of stuff. It's very hard. Like, I can watch a fighting game tournament and go, oh shit, what he just did was actually really, really impressive. To the average person, they may as well be just fucking mashing buttons. Fighting games, like, you get on there and just go, oh, fucking throw some fireballs and go for it.
Is
like,
that not what you have, what happens? That's
Don't you just do the Hadouken over and over again?
Yes, more or less. Yeah, no. But like, so it's a lot harder. Like, you've got to have that. But with a lot of these sort of first-person shooter games and these sort of, you can tell there's inherent skill in there, just how fast they get those headshots and where they're throwing these grenades. And just, they seem to, they seem to almost pre-fire through doors sometimes based on just map knowledge and shit. And it's just, it's astounding to watch. It's actually really, really cool to watch.
The one that gets me is when you're watching, like, the attacking team come in and the guy's standing there and he just turns to his left, pops through one of the windows, and it's like, oh, he just destroyed a camera.
Yeah.
It's like, I fucking didn't know that was there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we saw a guy blow a hole in a part of the staircase so he could then get a line at the camera without being seen. Yeah.
Just walks up, blows it, bang, all right, I'm off now.
Yeah. And you find, like, CSGO, for example, is very one-dimensional. You're kind of just fighting the guy in front of you, whereas, and you got angles and stuff, whereas Rainbow Six Siege, it's all about verticality. Like, you've got, you can get attacked from top, from below. It's the enemy can come at you from multiple levels.
We saw a guy nearly get killed. Yes, like the way he was standing, like one of the defenders had to stand on a beam between two pieces of floor that could be destroyed from underneath. Yeah. So this dude had this scanning tool and was looking up, and he could see him, and he was waiting for him to like move off the side so he could like shoot through the floor and actually get him. And the commentators are saying, like, for him to know to stand on that beam, that's just knowledge. Map knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous. Like,
See, but even then, like, when you see them C4 them from underneath, so they'll go, okay, he's just there, chuck the C4 on a breakable floor, blow it up, and they're dead.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be, as soon as we get back, I'm getting it on PC, not the $15 version, because I've heard that's a really bad idea to do. So
unless you want to be grinding for the rest of your life to get the operators,
So I'll be getting the full version of the game and actually jumping in with you guys. I'm actually really keen to start getting some Rainbow Six. So, but let's get back on to PAX, because I want to do a bit of a weird one. So
no.
What do you want to see improve at PAX next year? Because we've been coming now for a couple of years, and I think the show is getting, I think it's better this year. I can't really pinpoint why it's better this year.
Because everyone didn't have to choose between EB Games and this place.
And also, there's a theory about that.
Not sure it is better this year, because we don't have the hardware on floor.
Yeah, fair. And so you think it's a bit worse this year?
The lines seem to be a bit shitter this year as well.
Like, it is bigger this year, that's for sure. I think it feels less cluttered on the floor.
It does feel a bit less cluttered, but I do miss having Harvey Norman here.
Cheap games are good.
I'm more talking about the fact that people don't have to worry about going to EB Expo or PAX. Now it's all in one.
We
got the most people here we could possibly get, with yesterday being sold out early. The Friday was basically sold out. Might have got sold out during the day. Today is not sold out, you can tell.
Yeah.
But
still pretty impressive.
It's still busy. But is there anything you would like to see PAX do next year? Anything you want to see improve?
This place has gone under renovations and they've actually extended it. So there's more room, but they haven't used it this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tabletop area at the back is fucking massive.
It's huge. I walked out there and I was like, whoa, nope.
But even over in the theatre area, there's so much happening over there. I haven't even gone over there to see it all. It has to grow.
Yeah.
It has to get bigger. So, because you can already see when yesterday happened was nuts. Like, you just couldn't get in to see anything. Like, it was 45 minutes to an hour wait on most big games. You couldn't walk down the walkways very easily. It's the only problem I really see. Other than extending hours or extending to a fourth day, which they do overseas with the other PAXes, that's the only other thing. And as far as media goes, just let us in a little bit earlier on the Saturday, Sunday.
That's pretty hard. If you got the media passes, you still, like, you get in on the Friday, but then you have to stand in line on the Saturday and the Sunday, which can be pretty hard sometimes. But at the same time, you know, we're no one special, so who gives a shit?
That's it. Other than that, just get more Audio Technica stuff around. That's the main thing. Yeah, get them everywhere.
It's true. Get a bigger booth. Actually, I would like to see a more professional comp stage. I'd like to see something a bit better. The one thing that I saw yesterday, and the one thing that was a problem in esports for a little while, was the guys on the stage can actually hear the announcers.
Yes.
So they can hear them. So if the announcers say, we can see them coming up through the stairs, a lot of the time that actually is carried through to the stage. So in Dota, they now put them in soundproof fucking booths. I doubt they'll do that here, but maybe some sort of
I was quite shocked to see them on the floor. Casting like they were. But it's hard to do. I didn't think else here, I guess.
But maybe a bit more of a focus on that esports, because I really enjoyed sitting there yesterday watching those esports.
There now, it's dead. They were showing.
That's because they're playing TCGs.
There was like four people. Yesterday, every chair was taken.
Yeah, it was.
There was about 50 to 60, 70
people. They had
people.
Ushers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
just to get seats. It was nuts. Yeah. And like we said, it went to like 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock last night.
Yeah, it was. It was an insane day.
At bar trying to look down my phone, I'm like, oh, they're finally fucking finished.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Jesus.
Four drinks in, you're like, oh, it's finally
you
done.
You can tell that esports is at that stage in Australia now where it just needs that little bit of a nudge, a little bit of a cash injection, and someone to actually put on a legitimate arena filling, like yep. the Intel Masters, essentially, like yep. to really explode in Australia. It needs to happen.
Dota doing that?
Actually, man, I haven't even heard about it yet.
It's League. They're doing League of Origins, which is a competition between New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria, and I think
that's
South
League.
Australia.
But I was walking past, I think it was the ROG booth yesterday, right next here to the beautiful Audio Technica booth, which is much nicer, by the way. Much nicer booth. walked past the ROG booth yesterday, and they were handing out pamphlets. And they're like, hey, do you watch Dota? I'm like, yeah, I actually do watch Dota. I didn't realise it was here as a show. He's like, it's not here, but OG, the winners of last year's International $28 million prize pool tournament are going to be here in Australia in December. And I was like, why? No, there's a $50,000 Dota 2 tournament happening in Australia. Like, what? Why don't people know about this? So, yeah, apparently it is starting to happen, but I don't know. It's just, it's very hard as well because there's fragmentation in esports. Like, you watch Dota, or you watch your first-person shooters, or you watch your fighting games.
You don't sort of really watch all three. Yeah.
Or people are starting to. Like, I'm only just starting to get into Rainbow Six now, but you don't.
Where the teams that have the big teams that have teams in all of them is sucking people in. So you're following Fnatic, then all of a sudden you're following Fnatic play PUBG.
Yeah.
Or your Athletico play PUBG or something
Cloud,
like that.
Cloud9, Fnatic, they have Dota teams, they have LoL teams, they have fucking teams across
that kind
the,
of stuff
you know,
is
so.
what's going to drag people in, I think. Because we've never had. It's the old Overwatch League where here's your town as your team, and that took off. If we now start getting people to recognise the team itself and go, that's who I follow across all sports, then that's sort of what's going to bring them.
The other problem with esports, I think, that they're getting is...
Esports, mate.
Esports. The other problem with esports is that... it's really hard to actually follow a team because in a lot of cases you follow individual players.
Yeah.
There's so much drama in esports because realistically these are 15 to 20 year old boys. They are like a lot of professionals
a lot
are quite
young,
and there's a lot of drama and they change and swap teams so often.
Yeah.
That a lot of times you end up following players more so than teams.
Yeah.
But it's in its early stages. I don't know what the next steps are for esports, but I'd like to see something more done at next year's PAX to do with esports, I think.
Definitely. Have a second stage. You've got the stage here. If you're going to extend, put a second whole or put a stadium in. Use one of the stadiums. Put some money up to grabs. Like you saw, $25,000 for that Six Masters yesterday. We had international team come over who is the leading team in APAC.
Yeah, Nora Rengo.
And they came out for it. You had hundreds of people watching it all day. All day.
Yeah,
just imagine if they got like an invitational here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they flew out the big North American and European teams. Oh. I mean, we have one in Brazil. We have one in Montreal. We have one, in North America.
Like, we should get one eventually. Who knows when that'll be. But it seems Ubisoft's pushing the Rainbow Six pretty hard.
Yeah.
They're making some moves to try and make it bigger and better next year.
Obviously, you have to then fly all those players out and their support staff and stuff. But, I mean, it's worth it.
You get the money back.
You'd get your money back for sure, yeah.
Especially in long-term people. Like, you've got Perko here, watched the game, now wants to play the game. It's easy money.
And they're at least going to get, like $20 off me.
That's it.
You know,
at least.
At least. Sale, it'd be, you know.
You're a Mr. Moneybags, mate.
Oh, mate. It's made of it. Made of fucking cash. But, yeah, so what do you got for, like, the rest of PAX? We're kind of wrapping up, I guess. Kind of wrapping up PAX. We've got half a day left, realistically.
Yeah.
You guys are flying. Like, I mean, you fly
I'll
out.
Fly tomorrow morning.
You fly out tomorrow. You
fly
out
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I'll
you're
fly
out
tonight.
You're out tonight. Yeah. I'm flying out on Tuesday. Hopefully, I don't get food poisoning again. But
we need another story for next week's episode.
We do need another story for next week's episode.
Story time with Perko.
Fuck, there we go. We're gonna stop that shit. We're gonna stop that before it even starts.
No, but the people want it.
So PAX next year, we're gonna be here again. I'd say.
I'm up in the air, but Timmy will be.
Yeah, I'll be here all 3 days, bringing the partner and the child. So
nice.
Come down
nice.
For a full holiday. Yeah,
very nice.
I'm aiming to come next year, if I don't end up going over to America. So
yeah,
Going to the States.
Yeah, you know, fly
might,
out
might
for like
going overseas.
Far out.
Fly out for your Esports championships. Yeah, exactly.
So next topic, we've discussed PAX. We're here obviously at PAX. Come down and see us if you're here. Not that you can hear us. But
yeah, jump in your time machine. Yeah,
jump in your time machine. Come back and see us. Come and see us next year.
That's great.
But let's talk about Red Dead Redemption 2, because
I've played it yet. What
we haven't played it, but
I have.
So far on Metacritic,
shut up.
It is rated as the second best game of all time, I think, and
yeah,
the best
fair.
Game of the past decade.
Yeah,
for the past 10 years. Now, can Rockstar do wrong?
Yes, they can. Because you only get a game that works and is that good if you don't give a shit about your workforce. Like,
good point.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Like, if you talk to developers that are, you know, a lot of developers will say that they know people that work at Rockstar, and the Rockstar is not kind to their staff.
Yeah.
And you look at the games that they produce, and you don't get that kind of quality unless your staff work really, really hard.
Yeah.
And you know, other games release, and they're not that good. They're not that kind of polished quality, but they're done by a workforce that's happy, at least, you know, wants to do that. But the stories that I've been hearing, and obviously I can't repeat names, but that I've been told from people who know people that work at Rockstar, it is really, really bad there. Like, a lot of people don't even want to buy a copy of their own game because they don't want to give any kind of money to Rockstar in any way.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's insane. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, Apple, like iPhones, obviously they're a very good product, but they're made that way because they're made by
it brings us to that question as gamers is a moral choice. Like, I really want to play this game, but then I think about what the people that have done to make that game, and I feel bad about that. You're sort of stuck in the middle.
I don't think I've heard about that from Rockstar before. I might have heard whispers about it.
They've got a history of it. Apparently, it was the same with GTA 4 and 5.
I've heard whispers about it, but
they did the Wise letter.
Kotaku,
Jason Schreier just did an expose on it just recently. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Because that was recently they came out and said, when we made these comments, we were talking about a select group of us who work very hard. Was that one?
David Hauser came out and said that. Crunch is the big topic at the moment. It's a hot topic. It's like women in games from a couple of years ago. Whatever is going to be the next thing. I've been talking to a lot of indie devs lately, especially Damsel guys, Screwtape Studios.
Yep.
Some of the stories I've heard from just them back before the bottom fell out of Brisbane. Gaming market, where she was working for a company and they no problems, we'll pay you 50% of the overtime at the end of the project, and then the project finished and they said, oh sorry, we've got no work, you're fired, or you're gone, or shut down the studio, and they missed out on all that overtime that they'd worked that whole project for. You hear stories about that, but then you also hear stories of they were there working on that game that long because they were so passionate about it.
Yeah.
They wanted to put the effort in. They were able to put the effort in because they weren't, they weren't ignoring families or things like that.
I think it's a different situation where if you're actually doing overtime, but it's an option. Like, if you want to do overtime because you're passionate about the game and you know that it's voluntary and your studio says it's voluntary, you can do it if you want, you don't have to, it's not, you're not going to get in trouble. The atmosphere at Rockstar seems to be, if you don't do overtime unpaid, you're never going to progress, you're never going to go anywhere, you're never going to be given responsibility.
I've dealt with that at my workplace too.
It shouldn't be expected.
They say that overtime is optional, but the way that they say it makes it seem like it's not really fucking optional at all.
It's kind of like,
hey man, look, you don't have to work these hours.
Don't ever think you're going to get promoted though.
They don't say that because they're not allowed to. They just say, look, no, overtime is optional. You do what's best for you. And the way that they say it and the way that it's said, you were just like, well, fuck, now I have to work 20 hours today.
Yeah, it's not a games industry unique situation. It's not a Rockstar unique industry.
Yeah.
No, the problem is that the only way it's ever going to change is from the top down. We can boycott games, which is really not going to do anything.
No.
We can carry on as much as we want as a consumer, but the change doesn't happen unless it starts at the top. It starts with the CEOs and the heads of projects who put their foot down and say, no, we're not doing overtime because we're not getting paid for it. If we don't meet a deadline, then move the fucking deadline.
These games make hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, surely pushing it out by another fucking 6 months is not going to...
Well, it depends how long you've
unless
got.
Unless you're Crackdown 3.
Yeah, that's true.
I love you, Benny. Red Dead we got the crowd just grew.
Hey, Benny, how are you, mate?
Red Dead Redemption 2 was supposed to release last year.
Yeah,
can you imagine if they'd released it last year and pushed their workforce to meet that deadline?
The problem you've got is it's a big, massive ship. You have to release your game on a certain day because you 6 months out, you've got to say, marketing need to do this, retailers need to do this. As soon as you put that date, you pass that deadline that 6 months time, we have to release it. It has to happen, otherwise you lose so much money, and just everything goes out the window. So that's okay if you can't basically delay a game in the last 6 months. So that's your Battlefield 1 or Battlefield 5, whatever we're doing at the moment. They did the weird thing of doing that.
Battlefield 5 at the moment is in trouble. It's not pre-ordering well across the entire world. Yeah. Like,
The betas they had were not impressive. Anyway, and COD, how? I know how they did it, but COD released a game that's actually fucking good this year. It is like I had no idea. Like the
weird.
Whole reason I've been trying searching everywhere for a SCUF controller at PAX. The first day I was here, I was like, where the fuck can I buy a SCUF controller? I hit up Fid from GoTo Game, who's now they're doing stuff with
Love you, Fid.
Bluemouth now. Love you, Fid.
Fid, what a guy.
Yeah,
what an absolute legend.
So they're now doing stuff with Bluemouth, and I'm like, Fid, mate, where can I buy a SCUF controller? He's like, oh, I'll tell you in private. And I'm like, okay. He's like, oh, it's because they did not expect what Black Ops 4 would do. Yeah. I was like, really? Yeah. They're like, yep, Black Ops 4 came out, sold out on the next day, pretty much, of all their controllers Australia
wide.
I was like, oh, shit. He's like, yep, so they've got nothing to bring here. So they just didn't come. I'm like, far out. So, like, I can understand why Battlefield 5 is in trouble because, I don't know, man, they're up against... And releasing anything in this last quarter of this year, if you're a AAA, has to be fucking scary.
Yeah.
It has to be scary. Well, because you've got COD, you've got fucking your Red Dead Redemption 2, you've got like that's the two big
Just
names.
Just Cause 4, man.
Just Cause 4. But you know, you've got those two big names that'll tie people, but like, they're going to tie people over till Christmas.
Any game that's releasing within 2 weeks of Red Dead Redemption 2 is in trouble. Like, it's like, I'm not sure if you guys have played the Fallout 76 beta at the moment. I'm still, like, jury's still out for me on Fallout 76. I need to play more of it to get, like, I don't understand what the game's trying to be, but, you know, playing some more sessions of it will help.
I don't think Bethesda do either. That's the problem.
The problem is it feels like a niche game that's being marketed as a AAA title, but it's not gonna fit everyone.
It's a No Man's Sky sort of thing.
The sessions for the beta, like, everyone thought that it would be like a normal beta where it ran for a week or it ran for a weekend and you could just play it and get your fill and see if you wanted to. But it's being run in sessions. So the first session was 4 hours. There was another one which was 2 hours. There's another one which is like 3 hours. But those sessions are taking place this weekend after the release of Red Dead Redemption 2. So you are not going to get an accurate stress test, which is supposed to be stress testing the servers to see if they can handle it. People are not going to be playing Fallout 76 when Red Dead Redemption 2 has just come out. It's just not going to happen.
And they're going to be looking for numbers, the kind of numbers they're going to need for their load balances for their first weekend of opening. And they're not going to have any fucking idea because you're right. Everyone's going to be playing Red Dead. Going to be playing Red Dead. So they're going to have very, very underperforming numbers now. And when it a lot of people are looking forward to that. They could very well have some server issues when it comes out.
Then we get into territory as well when we talk about pre-ordering to get access to a beta. Like, people have pre-ordered this game and they're literally not getting much access to this beta. And if you're in Australia, those beta times are either like 10 a.m. in the day or 2 a.m. in the morning.
This is why I don't pre-order. I haven't pre-ordered for fucking years. I really haven't. Like, I don't see a point in
But I still do. I still pre-order, but I do physical. Like, I don't pre-order digitally. I don't. That's,
I do physical only, but I think pre-ordering before something's out is just... It's furthering this machine of the way that games are now and the way that they're trying to take power away from consumers really kind of bothers me in a little way. Like, there was a big thing about reviews last night and when you can tell if they're biased or not on one of the panels and stuff like that.
Realistically,
a lot of outlets now don't even send out review copies of games, or they do, but only to people that they know will probably speak kindly about their games. And a lot of ways, as a reviewer, if you say bad words about a game, even constructive, I have a real worry that I'll be blacklisted from that person.
I think some studios are different in that respect. Yeah. Like, I could imagine that from an EA.
Yeah.
I've seen bad reviews by people for Ubisoft games, and those people, Ubisoft have, you know, got in contact with those people and said, hey, would you help us? You know, Bethesda are the same. Like, if you've got constructive criticism, they'll listen to you.
Yeah.
And because that helps them be better. Like, I sat in there with a workshop for Rainbow Six Siege, And they said, the only way that we balance our game better is with your feedback. Yeah. So if you don't give us good feedback and like accurate feedback, even if it's like, this is shit, this is the reason why.
Yes.
Like, they don't know what to fix. Well, they do know what to fix, but they don't know where to target there.
But this is the reason why is the important part. There's a big difference between destructive criticism and constructive criticism. If you're actively giving destructive criticism and just being an asshole and being like, yeah, well, this game's shit, and not giving reasons
Marco Stahl's a perfect example of that, because he went and actually found bugs in the division, like with the healing box and the running in place, and he demonstrated it and he showed that to the devs, and they went, righto, well, now we've identified how it happens, we can try and fix it.
Yep.
You know, then other people get on Twitter and they're like, your fucking med box is broken, fix it, brah. Like, that doesn't help anyone, you know? Like,
you've done that before, mate.
That was too organic, mate.
Yeah. That was too natural.
It's just Twitter. Twitter's a dumpster fire sometimes when it comes to constructive criticism. Yeah.
It's so good. I love Twitter. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few months for games, I think. I don't think we're going to hear... I mean, Fortnite is still this fucking juggernaut. I thought...
Blackout is coming after it.
Yeah, it is. I want to see some numbers, because the last time we spoke about numbers for Fortnite, it was 75 million unique players in 1 month.
Weren't they sitting at like $285 million a month being made off that game? Like, that's just staggering. Yeah. Off a free-to-play game.
I've got to find out what they are now, because I reckon Blackout is eating into that.
I reckon Red Dead technically going to eat into it. I know a lot of people that haven't got this season pass because they're like, oh my god, I've got Blackout, but I've also got Red Dead, I've got Assassins, and I don't have time for Fortnite this season.
Do you feel like that's becoming a big issue in gaming as well?
We spoke about that the other day. We're so spoiled for choice,
it's ridiculous.
We spoke about that the other day. We want to actually sit down and go through the past 12 months if you wanted to complete all of the AAA games that have been released, just the AAA's, not the indies, not even the ones, the Crew 2. like all of those. Is it like, how many hours do you have to put in a week?
You literally can't have a job.
Like there's multiple. Like, I remember last year, in the span of 1 month last year, three games came out that I purchased that were over 100-hour playthroughs. Yeah. And I was like, I can't physically complete these in a month. It's just not fucking possible.
Assassin's Creed is a perfect example. Like, my situation is, I work 9 to 5, I stream 3.5 hours a night, 5 nights a week. I have the weekends off. I spend that time with my partner, like, and my family, because, you know, that's important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, it's very important.
I get told that's important.
Yeah. For me, if I was to finish Assassin's Creed, which is like a 60-plus hour main campaign, if you're fully leveled, I'd have to play that for 6 weeks, essentially. Five or six weeks to be able to finish that.
And they've got Red Dead 2, which is a 60-hour campaign.
Yeah.
My backlog is
just going to be fucking huge by the end of the year. I'm going to have to take holidays to finish all the games that I want so that I'm finished before Division 2 comes out in March. So.
I mean, there's never been a better time to play games, but yeah, you more or less have to be unemployed to finish them all at this point.
Hello.
Fuck off. But yeah, it's going to be very... Like, it's going to be an interesting few months. Christmas is going to be... I don't know who's going to... Is there any... thing big happening around
Just
Christmas.
Cause happens at the beginning of December, but that's it.
Like, Just Cause 4, and then you've 4th got, December. Get on.
Yeah, I think Smash Brothers as well is coming
out.
But Smash Brothers is not a game that you need to invest hundreds of hours into, unless you're like...
You can if you want to, and people will, but you don't have to, 100%. Yeah. But it's interesting, we see this weird flip, because 5 years ago, you had this run up to Christmas where it was just game after game after game. You'd walk into EB Games, and the new releases were almost like... It was almost just all new releases. Yeah. Now it seems like quarter one of the year.
Quarter one next year is insane.
It actually goes in waves. So when you look at it from like the retail perspective, like your February, your March are big. And EA is notorious for releasing games in like when they had Dead Space and Mass Effect and stuff like that. They released them in the first March, February, March. April and May generally have a couple of big releases, and then June, July, August is just dead.
E3 months.
It's dead. Yeah. And then you've got September, you'll start your big lot, like a couple of releases will come out at the end of the month, and then it's just fucking madness until Christmas.
Yeah.
And then it goes really quiet again, and then you're back into the February, March release calendar. So I think Anthem releasing next year in February is a smart idea. I think it's going to get more players in February than it would have if it had released at Christmas.
I think the real...
I think Anthem releasing is a bad idea.
But Division 2, when it comes out, I think it'll stomp all over Anthem.
The news we've had since we talked last was Days Gone actually getting out of the way of Anthem and a few others that was February 22nd is now April.
I think that's Days Gone not being ready.
Yeah.
They've had problems with that.
There is no way you release that game next to Anthem.
Days Gone to be a much better game than Anthem.
Yeah. It will be, but everything else that's on that February 26th, we're still supposedly have Crackdown 3 coming that day.
I don't think we're getting Crackdown 3.
Can I just make a point here about Crackdown 3? That game has been in development now as long as The Last of Us original game was.
Yep.
And we know that The Last of Us is critically acclaimed as one of the best games of all time.
So here we go. We heard it first.
So Crackdown 3 best needs game ever. To be fucking incredible. Otherwise, it's the most wasted dev time you've ever seen.
You know, though, that the game we get, well, they've only been working on that for probably the last 2 years because they've scrapped it and they've scrapped it and then scrapped it again. And now they're going to bring in something. Because Terry Crews wasn't even part of the original game. Now they're rewriting it to get him in there.
Oh, are they? That was news 2 years ago, the last time we fucking heard about Crackdown.
Yeah, it could be completely different.
It could be completely different now. We don't know.
It's not even on the show floor. It's 4 months away.
Is it actually?
Supposedly it's 4 months away, yeah.
Oh, fuck off. There's no way that game's coming out in 4 months.
No, not a chance in the world, but I like pointing it out every time.
There's no way. But the last we heard about Crackdown 3 was they were saying they had the cloud-based physics stuff, where your actual console isn't doing a lot of the physics processing of the world.
Yep.
It's Microsoft Azure. It's all their fucking cloud stack that's doing everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's very interesting because with the recent streaming service that they've currently announced, which
xCloud,
which you actually use the Azure services and stuff, and you're using their cloud services to stream
games.
Which
is the number two cloud service in the world, I think.
Azure, yeah, it is, yeah. It's and very, very big.
Google's
which we'll never see here in Australia because our internet's garbage.
Our internet's amazing, mate.
To be honest, I'm on Azure with where I work now. It's not bad. It could be better. It's not cheap. It's fucking not cheap. But I reckon that, I don't know. Crackdown's a weird one. I just don't know if we'll even see it.
Yeah. It's not looking good for it, to be honest.
Yeah, it'll go the way of the rest of that E3 showing that they did back in 2012.
Wasn't there that thing that's like what games have actually
been Scalebound.
And there's none of them. They've all been they're all scrapped.
Crackdown 3 was the last big hope.
But then
again, Microsoft, they're making the right moves though, because they purchased all these studios to do like actual exclusive titles, because that's where they're getting their ass kicked.
Yeah.
But you know, Crackdown 3 is like, it's got a release. They've got to put something out. If you look at the PlayStation section for the last 12 months, there's like almost 12, 13 exclusives. And you look at Xbox, and you got Sea of Thieves.
Yeah. And those exclusives are all like above 80s, like they're above 8 out of 10.
Well,
we were talking game of the year the other day
walking in. My top three games of the year are three exclusive Sony titles.
Yep.
Yeah. Same. Yep. My game of the year is Detroit. Becoming Human. Like, yep.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And God of War's there, and Spider-Man is just as good as all of them as
Detroit's
well.
Detroit's up there for me, and Ni No Kuni 2's up there for me. They're all PlayStation exclusives.
Yep. Yeah.
And Microsoft have backed themselves into, we've talked about it before, backed themselves into a weird position where they're kind of, you can't really have an exclusive title on Xbox because of the way that Microsoft now releases their games on both Xbox and PC. They've kind of made themselves redundant. I still reckon they're going to do it. I still think that they're positioning themselves to be, they're going to outsource their hardware. Yeah. So what they're going to do is that eventually, because right now you can open up your Xbox app on Windows 10.
Yeah.
I still think that within the next maybe 2 to 3 years, we'll see Microsoft say, hey, guess what? Anything is now an Xbox.
Yeah.
Anywhere that has Windows 10 is now an Xbox.
Yeah, see, that's the thing though. Like, I actually still believe that even though they release, say, Forza, for example, is their exclusive franchise. They release it on PC and Xbox One. I still consider that an exclusive. Like, I consider that a Microsoft exclusive.
Yeah.
So they just need, like, Forza is the game carrying them at the moment because it is just it's one of their best selling games and it's theirs to keep.
Like, yep. But my point to that is why would I, like, as me as a gamer, and I'm a serious gamer, right? So if you're a serious gamer, you own generally more than one console and you generally own a PC.
Yeah.
It might be an entry level PC, but you generally own a PC, right? So where's the incentive for me to buy an Xbox?
Yeah.
There isn't one. Like, all of the exclusives that Microsoft are releasing are releasing on PC, and everyone who's ever owned a PC knows if you can afford it, it's fucking better to game on a PC.
The reason I got my Xbox again was purely to replace the idea of a Steam box that Steam was making, because the Xbox sits in my lounge room and it plays my Xbox games when I'm feeling like sitting on a lounge to play the games that I'll be playing on the PC.
And that's the other great, like, because I've got an Xbox One X and I stream mostly from my Xbox on my PC.
Yeah.
And even when I stream PS4 games, I run it through my Xbox because it's easier to do streaming through your Xbox. But, like, and there's no denying how powerful the X is. It is a fantastic console.
Oh, yeah.
And I've played Xbox since the original because all my friends have been on there. If all my friends were on PlayStation 4, I do, man. The friends that aren't you guys.
Yeah, good.
if all my friends moved to PlayStation 4, I would jump like that.
Because
there would be nothing keeping me on Xbox. Like,
and that's what they're scared of. Every time they release a new console, people go where their friends are, and if they lose all those people to PlayStation, the machine's gone. Yeah. That's what happened this year.
And you can have the most powerful console on the market, but if you've got nothing good to play on it, like...
If there's no games, no one's going to fucking buy it. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. I can have this really powerful console and nothing to play.
Yeah.
I'm buying a PS4 Pro when I get back, just so I can play...
Black Ops 4
melted my PlayStation.
I think Microsoft just have to take the L this generation and just move to the next one.
I think they have.
Yeah, I think they have, and I think that's why we really haven't heard much. I mean, they did the Xbox One X, but we really haven't heard much from Microsoft this generation at all.
Well, you can tell in the pricing for the consoles as well. Like, you can pick up an Xbox One S for $350. You buy a PlayStation 1 TB for $500. Like, you know, it's just... Yeah.
It's true. And I mean, and then we haven't even really spoken about the Switch, which is doing wonders. And still, I mean...
Best console of the last 12 months. Easy.
The last two years, I should say. I've been very critical of the Switch. People, the podcast know that. I own one now, and I love it. It still blows my mind that thing is so big.
But what games have they released as Nintendo itself this year? Like, I would go through my top 5 games of the year so far... They are PlayStation and Xbox exclusives. There's not a Nintendo exclusive in there. They've had Mario Aces, which was a fail. Yeah. Mario Party,
I enjoyed Mario.
The Mario Party.
I thought that was good.
I've seen it. I haven't played it, but I've heard good things.
Did you play the single player or online?
Going back to
I played the single player. Yeah.
Okay. That's, yeah.
And, like, I enjoyed Mario Odyssey as well. I thought Mario Odyssey was fantastic.
That was last year. Last year, Nintendo had a great year. This year, I think they've dropped the ball.
Well, everything's coming out. Pokemon Go, Eevee and Pikachu and Smash Brothers are just going to blow it out of the park. Yeah.
So we're yet to see on that. So.
I still seem to think that Pokemon Go, Eevee and Pikachu, Pokemon Let's Go, Eevee and Pikachu, I still think they're I think they're fucking hardware tests for their Pokemon game next year.
100%.
Yeah.
I still think it's like a paid beta for what they're going to be doing next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, that Pokemon game is going to be...
But see, they don't have to have a massive... like big release this year to be successful. They can just release all of the games that have come out that people love on other consoles, just bring them out on the Switch.
That's my
and
problem.
And you've got portability. Like, you've got the same games and you can play them wherever you want. Like,
But you kind of can, but you kind of can't. Because, like, I've been playing my Switch and, like, I've spent a bit of time with food poisoning. So, you know, I had a bit of time in bed. So,
really? Tell me that story.
Fuck off. So, you know, it doesn't really take that long for that thing to die on battery. Mine's brand new. So, like, I'm pretty sure that the way that batteries go, like, I know for a fact that, you know, my wireless headphones that used to last 6 hours, they now last 3 when they're fucking a year old. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
You should have got a pair of Audio Technica, mate.
Do you have wireless? Do you have wireless ones for the gym? I'll have to check them out. I don't know. I mean, it is portable, but it's only portable because you can actually portably take it with you. It doesn't really feel like a portable. It sucks a lot of power. You kind of need to take your AC adapter with you if you want to play it for any extended period of time.
Mate, I've just got a battery, like a power bank.
Oh, yeah, fair.
With a USB-C cord on it.
Yeah, yeah. Richie's. Use Richie's over
here. It was like $50.
I can't afford that shit. but, like, I don't know. It's an odd console for me. I do really want to see someone challenge them. I do really want to see someone challenge them, to be honest. But someone like Sony, bring out another Vita.
No, fuck off. The Vita was the biggest mistake they ever made.
You reckon?
Yeah, it was terrible. The problem was they created a console and they were like, yeah, guys, we're going to do all this portable gaming. And everyone was like, but it costs too much money for us to develop games for this format.
For that
and
they
were like,
yeah,
we don't care. You know, and then the console went nowhere.
That's like, when they were in their cell processes. If they came out with another console now that went back into the Unreal Engine and stuff like that, like, they've all sort of settled on AMD, like AMD-based, 64-based processors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If they came out now with something, it could be a different story, because remember the PS3 was the hardest thing to fucking develop for in history because of their weird cell processing and shit like that. We're going to have to start to wrap it up, guys, because we have been here for
I want to keep talking, though.
Yeah, so do I.
We'll get you.
I like talking. I like the hearing.
You like hearing your own voice. It's great.
Yeah, look.
And these Audio Technica headsets make my voice sound so good.
They do. Massive thank you for Audio Technica for having us here. Come down and see them at PAX next year if you're here. They usually have one of the sexiest booths. It's very wide. It's very nice. And just to let you know, I'm quite pissed off because 4 weeks ago, I bought a set of those fucking open ear ones for $399 from JB Hi-Fi, and they're on sale on the floor here for $280.
Bargain.
I'm fucking spewing. So,
go grab them at audiotechnica.com.au.
You can go grab them there, and head on down to PAX if you want some super specials for these guys. And if you have a chance to come to PAX, guys, please please get down here. It's a fucking amazing event, and it's just full of the best people. It's the best place in the world. It's the best place in Australia every year.
That's great.
So, yeah, thank you, everybody. And to all our community, to you guys, thank you so much.
Can we do a special shout-out to those mashed potato-hating 8-Bit crew?
Yeah, special shout-out to 8-Bit.
Organising all this. I know you hate mashed potato, but that's weird. But thank you, Brendan, in particular, for setting all this up and letting us be able to have this opportunity to podcast in front of our massive amount of fans right here on their phone watching away. Yeah. It's great.
Shout out to all the guys we've seen this PAX. You know, all the guys from Pixel Sift, all the guys from 8-Bit, the guys from all the indie devs that we've met and stuff, NATO and the boys. Thank you. The couple of NPCs, guys. Thank you, everyone. And a special thanks to our community again, guys. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. Thank you so much.
Timmy, so 100%. Let everyone know where they can find all your gear, mate.
Oh, just on twitch.tv/Uber_Timmy.
Okay, so, and they can donate all their hard-earned money to you there, can they?
If they want, I will take it.
Okay. No problem. Where can people find you, Butters?
You can find me on Twitter, at Mr. Buttersocks.
Is that it?
Hit me up there, and I'll let you know the other 32 different places that you can play games with me.
Sweet. Sounds good. Wilco, where can we catch you, man?
Wilco's Chill Zone on all the places. Hit me up on Twitter or Twitch or YouTube. I got to 100,000 views today somehow.
Yeah, well done.
Weird.
Very, very nice.
Two videos, two
pornos.
Yeah,
well done.
That
Red Tube's different.
Hold on, we're about to put the Just Dance up there too, and it's going to just go through the roof,
fucking
mate.
Fucking hell.
Perko, where can people find you, mate?
You can catch me at Matt or Matty Jerkins in most of the places, and you can catch us all at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au, and we will be seeing you guys for another podcast in a couple of days. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.